Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's our TSN hockey analyst, Ray Ferraro. What's up, Ray?
I'm just back in Vancouver, just on the way home. So kind of nice to be at home. I'm done. Now I've just got World Junior prep for the next 10 days or whatever it is.
How excited are you for that, Ray? Like, how long? Like, the World Juniors, you don't have to leave your home.
This every year I do 2 games in Vancouver. That's the most I get. And so this year I'm here for, what is that? I guess we start the Boxing Day. So 10 straight days, 17 games. I never get to come home after a game. This is awesome. Bring your umbrella, though.
Yeah. Well, that's what McKenzie was complaining about yesterday. Bob, I guess he had heard that the weather was really nice in BC. Yeah. And then he showed up and he's like, it's brutal right now. It's raining constantly.
You don't have to shovel rain, though. That's the thing.
But the best part is that, you know, what did Bob think? He was coming to a tropical paradise?
Well, no, like, kidding. Yeah, it didn't just change for you. I'm pretty sure it's consistent.
Yeah, this is it. You get it now, and if you don't like it, come back in April.
Yeah.
Because that's what we got.
No, it's the same thing here. Like, brace yourself. It's not going to be very nice here for about 5 months. So yeah. We'll figure it out in the spring. What'd you make of the Leafs last night in the bounce back?
I liked them last night. That's certainly a different style team than Boston, right? Like, Carolina's not very physical there, but they can skate. And I thought right from the very beginning that the Toronto looked pretty dialed in. They had, I think, 7 of the first 8 shots, and Anderson looked really good. And I liked Kadri. I liked Brown. I thought Riley was outstanding last night. And then, of course, the guys that, you know, that scored, you know, the fourth line actually was really good too. I liked lots of their game last night.
The GOAT with his fourth assist.
And he's hot. What was our over-under, guys?
12.
Yeah, 12 and a half. Ooh. I think we hit. So it's still a bit of a mountain, but
he's chugging. You know, we could, you know, he's plugging away at it. I think, I don't know. Yeah, this could get close on us. It might
I liked
not.
It. I like that. I think that should have been worth, like, that's like 3 GOAT points. Like, if, like, it was a nice play.
Yeah.
So that should have equaled 3 GOAT points?
Well, yes. His first assist was one where he put his stick down.
Yes, it is. It's instead of Corsi, it's Goatski.
Goatski points.
Goatski points.
Because if it happens in the... Remember his first point was where he put his stick down on the lane in the defensive zone. It hit his stick and rolled out to, like...
2-on-1.
Ennis-DeLevo shelf. Yeah, but that... He turned the puck over. That's worth 2 Goatskis right there.
Yeah, he might be over the number if those are the analytics that we're using. Or he's getting close to
it. I did notice yesterday, though, as I keep reading about, you know, Carolina, they work hard, they play hard, they you know, they lead the league in shots on goal. They, you know, they don't score. I got an idea. How about not trade away all your goal scorers?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
You know, 37 goals are sitting in Calgary and
Buffalo,
and they're talking that they don't, you know, gee, we don't have any finishers. Well, I mean, the best player on that team by a mile is Aho. Man, is he good. And if you're another team, you know, we've talked a little bit about, you know, would somebody offer sheet Marner or Matthews? Why wouldn't you press Carolina on Aho?
No kidding.
He's restricted at the end of the year.
No kidding.
Do they have the money to do that? I don't know.
Well, it also goes to show you how they haven't really paid attention to their own center ice position, because there's Aho, and then there's Jordan Staal, who's basically a 3.5 centerman right now, like a 3.5. I don't even know what he is. And then what else is there after that? And when you don't have the centerman, look at what Skinner is doing with Eichel. He's on fire. Lindholm with Monahan.
Completely different players.
Mm-hmm.
I like lots of what they do, though. Like, I like Pesci. I really like Jacob Slavin. I think Falk looked really good last night. Dougie Hamilton looked terrible. But I like what they do. You know, Brind'Amour has them, you know, they get up the ice, they're aggressive, they just don't have enough players. And if it all about they're watching every nickel. And you know, one of the reasons they trade Skinner and Lindholm is because they were coming up for new contracts, right? They traded out basically $16 million in salary and brought back about $8 million. And not often do you win trades like that.
Well, I mean,
they're just not good enough.
No, it's not going to happen.
They try hard. They're just not good enough.
But it's an interesting point about Aho and, you know, offer sheets. The problem with the conversation is they don't happen, and until they do, my fear is that we're going to talk about this all year, and then nothing's going to happen, and we're going to be like, that was a waste of time.
I think we could be
months.
Talking about an offer sheet, but it's not going to be what we expect. It's not. I mean, potentially, yeah, Matthews or Marner, but I'm thinking like somewhere in Winnipeg or somewhere like it could be somewhere in Carolina where Carolina's not going to match exactly
or Tampa.
It's not just like all the focus is because we're here and Matthews and Marner are coming up, but there are other teams that potentially either could be pressed up against the cap or pressed up against their internal cap from ownership, where you know you have to answer to bosses that just don't want to dip that deep into their pockets. So I believe, in just talking to people, I think there's going to be an offer sheet thrown around this year, but I'm not convinced it's just going to be in Toronto. I think it's going to be in another organization.
Could we get lucky and there's about three of them?
I think it would be great.
Awesome.
Oh, it would spice it up for sure. I mean, the thing is, like, I heard Carlo on First Up this morning, and it's a different scenario because of when it happened, but he brought up the point about William Nylander. Nylander was out there for 4 months. Anyone could have offer-sheeted him at any point. Now, maybe the Leafs would have matched, and maybe the Leafs sent that vibe out, like, go ahead, do it if you want, we're going. But by all accounts, no one even sniffed around.
But would you, though? Like, to me, that could hamstring your organization with a potentially, let's call it, no disrespect to William, a bad contract. If you give him $8 million or $8.5 million,
but that's my point. I'm not saying the Leafs would have been comfortable with that or wanted to do it.
Right.
But a lot of people are using the, well, do it just to screw that team over. Well, you could have screwed over the Leafs if you did it, and no one did it.
But then you would screw yourself over.
Well, you could. Well, I mean, if it's $8 million, you could live with that. He's a really good player. It's not like he's a brutal, you know, third line guy.
Right.
But the thing is, the offer sheet, in my opinion, can only work if the offer stresses the team that the player is currently with. And if you offer sheet Aho, you're going to stress them. Like, they're going to have to make a decision they're just not very comfortable with. I don't think Toronto would have been stressed to the point that they couldn't match on Nylander. They might have anyway, and then trade him in the summer.
Right.
Right? Like, they've got all kinds of cap room this year. Mm-hmm. The stress is not this year. It's in subsequent years. And so, you know, come July, if Marner and Matthews aren't signed, and Aho's not signed, and Kyle Connor's not signed, and Patrick Laine's not signed, all of a sudden there's some places that could really be under stress with these terrific young players where the market's seemingly changed. And I was thinking about this the other day along those lines is, okay, we're a year away from the CBA stuff again. Do you not think this thing is not going unnoticed by the owners, that second contract guys are just flying to the front of the line? They're not going to like that. Is there something they can do to try and cramp that little flow going on? And if they do, then there's going to be a significant issue.
Well, don't you think, though, Ray, the PA has to be concerned as well? I mean, I think the owner's response to that, even though I don't think they like the idea of just handing money out to younger players, at the end of the day, I think the owner's reaction will be, listen, you guys get 50% of the pot. You figure it out. If I pay one player 95% and the other guys only get 5%, but I think if you're Donald Fear and you're the PA, I would expect you're going to hear, he's hearing from guys who are 28, 29, finally getting the UFA, and they're like, where's my money?
Yeah.
The 20-year-old took my cash.
Well, I'll tell you, I don't know what you guys think, but every CBA I was in, whenever someone suggested a rookie cap or something like that, everyone's like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
We were all past it. We're like, yeah, to hell with those guys.
But it is true. At that point, and I felt like that. I'd been through that process. We were fighting for, I remember one conversation where we were technically fighting for a guy who was playing mite hockey. Like, he was 12 years old or 14 years old at the time. and we're 24-year-old men or 25-year-old men, and we're fighting for the future of those kids. I'm like, they can have their fight. Let's push that. Let's kick it down the road here and get playing and get into a scenario where we can earn some money. Those kids, when they come along, they'll earn their money too. But I was fine with the rookie cap. I think that was one thing that was like unanimous. Like, yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Forget
you know,
that.
I don't know where you were at, Ray, but I was. Yeah. I remember thinking the same thing.
I was 35 years old.
Exactly.
My concern.
No kidding.
Well, it felt like, I guess, you know, not to be too disrespectful, but it felt like there was still a place of you got to earn it still.
Yeah.
And now I think the guys get paid differently, not only because they're terrific young players, but they get paid on what they're going to be. And that's the way it goes. So those guys, like you mentioned, Brian, the 27, 28-year-olds, they're waiting to get paid, and there is no money because they're saying, wait a minute, our numbers are showing that you're past your best on date. And so those guys get left in the lurch here, and it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out. Because I think it will be a factor for sure.
Well, in saying all that, Alex Ovechkin has 25 goals in 30 games.
And he's 33 years old.
And he's 33. And this guy's career has been incredible. I remember 4 or 5 years ago, like, having debates. Would any team in the league take the contract right now? Is he trade? Like, that's how crazy it got.
And he was having off-season, like, at 38 goals.
Right.
Like, Alex Ovechkin on the decline. You know, he's getting older now, slowing down. Like, having an off-season, he scored 38 one year, and then 32, I believe. Mm-hmm. And those were off-seasons.
It was the beginning of the end. He's done, and now he's on pace for, like, 68 goals.
All right. It's amazing, and you know what, he looks, maybe last year's win as well contributes, you know, the cup win, but he looked like the joy was back in his game again, you know, and it looks like now he's just like, he's free again, you know, like there's less stress. He just goes and plays, and man, he can score still. He can, you know, I don't know. I'm really impressed with the way that he's become more than dangerous again. And we talk about Line A, we talk about whoever we want, about guys that can really score goals, and he's got the most goals again. And until somebody knocks him off, he's still the king.
Oh, absolutely.
Now,
he deserves that mantle.
Right? It's still subject to opinion, but like, he has to be the greatest goal scorer, certainly of our generation, but like,
I think of all time.
Could he be in the conversation?
He came in the game when goaltending started to revolutionize, and the pads and everything was bigger. And
like, and that's no disrespect to Gretzky or Lemieux and that, but it's just like, this guy has scored in different eras. You know, the dead puck era, the hooking and holding. Like, you know, this guy has scored in every which way. And, I mean, if he plays another 5 or 6 years and just averages, you know, 30 goals a season,
he's pushing 800 goals.
Yeah. Like, it's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But that wasn't my favorite goal last night, his three.
No.
What was your favorite goal last night?
In general, league-wide, it was the one that went off Tim Peel. In the net.
Right off his junk. I mean, that's the best.
Off his balls.
Like, Luongo, you know, this is going to sound so stupid. I was joking about this earlier. It was almost like he knew it wasn't going to count. And he like let it in so he could look at him. Yeah, and be like, what are you doing?
Louis's left leg went off the post and it hit his skate and went in. It was almost like Louis staring at him, like, "What the hell are you doing here?"
The best part about it is Tim had to get up and wave the goal off.
Yeah,
like they froze. There was one. The best part about the internet is because there's little clips out there of it. There's one where it stops on Timmy's face where he's laying down and looking at the net, and he's got this Scrabble face on, like, oh my God, did this just hit me and go in the net? It was awesome.
That's why we go to the games, right there. A little bit of stupidity goes a long way. Man, I love that.
Yeah, it was so good. Especially from the corner. Like, if somehow it's fluky and you're in the middle, not that you'd be in the middle of the ice, but, you know, it's in the corner, off your junk and in. And then you, it's in the rule book. You got to call it off. It's not allowed to go in off a ref and in.
They got the horn going off, and
yeah, I know.
He's waving the thing off. It's outstanding.
And who was it? It was Bortuzzo, right?
Yeah.
So Bortuzzo, I remember he had gone over to the bench and was kind of like, "Is this going to count? Is this not going to count?" And it was just a crazy non-goal. But that's.
Well, did you guys see the? Did you see as well, Noodles? Just like in the last hour, St. Louis put out a thing that all their players are open for deal.
I mean, Tarasenko is really interesting for me. I think he's a hell of a player.
And like Carolina, you want a goal scorer? Go get Tarasenko.
Oh, wait a minute. He makes $8 million.
Yeah.
That's what they'll say, too.
But he is, I think he's a fantastic player. I think he's a guy who, you know, he could lighten up a little bit in certain areas, like from a physical standpoint. I think he puts some weight on. I think he carries a little weight.
That's a polite way of saying he's a little hefty.
But he can move, though.
He's 230 pounds.
I know, but, tank. Like, isn't there stories, again, I didn't play, but you remember the Russian players that had come over? Sergei Makarov, I believe, was a guy who just...
The big one was Krutov, Vladimir Krutov. He played here in Vancouver.
Okay, so Krutov, I thought I'd heard a story about Makarov, who was built like a bag of milk, but, like, could play and fly. Like, a lot of these guys, some guys aren't carved out of stone, but they're amazing players. And
I was in St. Louis, or in Detroit, it would have been 2 years ago, I guess, and Tarasenko walked by, and he looked like the bus driver. I was like, oh, my God, that's one of the best scorers in the league. Like, he was, honestly, he had to be 240 pounds.
And he's not that tall. It's not like he's 6'4".
No,
but when he plays, like, honestly, when he is a complete difference maker.
Yeah,
when he plays, and he's not been this year, and for whatever the reason is, things have gone so sideways there. Man, this is a rattle the cage move for sure here.
Well, and they're coming off an off season where they acquire Ryan O'Reilly, who has pulled his own weight.
Yeah, and Braden Shen's a really good player.
Braden Shen had a breakout year last year, really good. You know, they signed Bozak to, I think it was a 3-year deal, a decent money.
Yeah, $5 million a year.
And now all of a sudden, like, this is like suggesting that everyone is available. That's a tank move. Like, that's almost like we have to completely reload. And
the one thing about St. Louis has been the constant thing. Their goaltending has never been close to good enough. They made an attempt 1 year and got Ryan Miller, but
they got Marty Brodeur at the end. Like, it wasn't good.
It's been a disaster.
You're right, but like...
Them in Philadelphia have pissed away so many years for not addressing one issue.
There's two guys that I would knock the door down for those guys on that team. One is Parayko, and the other one is Tarasenko. Parayko's on a value contract. He makes $5.5 million, and he's got 3 years left on it after this season. I think he's an outstanding player.
I'd add Petrangelo to that.
I agree. Like, I think Petro's a very good player, and I think he's just had an off season. Now he's banged up, but like, he's a guy who is a special player too. But I'm just looking at age and, you know, a reasonable cap hit. Like,
yep.
Parayko's 25 years old. Tarasenko's 26, and he makes 7.5. Like, those are cornerstone pieces. If they were available, I'd be calling to see what it would take to get them out of there. And if I'm any organization, not just the Leafs or anybody, like, you know.
The one thing is, because they're on those valued contracts, what you're going to pay back is going to be, you know, pretty steep. And, you know, St. Louis has to replace the players, too, whatever deals they're going to make. A lot of people thought they were going to be really good at the start of the year. I didn't especially love all the signings because I thought they were all of the same variety, like the Perron, Bozak, Maroon. They're slower players, and I thought, oh, I don't know if that's all going to work. And then they got out of the gate, and it's just not been right for them. And this is a pretty big step for sure to say, okay, all these guys are out. You know, let's do some talking here.
Another guy, I know he's banged up a lot, but Steen. Like, Steen's a hell of a player.
Well, deadline. That's
what I'm talking, deadline.
Chicago, St. Louis, L.A., those are the teams you circle. There's going to be scouts.
You want to talk about players who are tough to play against? Like, that Steen is tough to play against. Not dropping the gloves or anything, but hard. Hard.
Yeah, he unfortunately, Noodle, yeah. He's got a lot of miles on
he
him.
He does, and the bodies are given out, yeah.
Yeah, he's banged up a bit, but he could be a player that somebody brings in and you don't really jump up and down over, and he becomes one of those guys in the playoffs that gives you major, major pop. Like, he's good. He can play up and down your lineup. He almost interests me more than the other guys because of the price would be more affordable than if you're acquiring Tarasenko, you're making a significant change to your team.
Yeah, like, it's a blockbuster. It's a monster deal. Leafs Lightning tomorrow night, big one tomorrow. Well, we'll tee it up at 5.
All right, boys. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Have
a good one. For our TSN hockey analyst joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline.